Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as once again we face the issues. We're living in desperate days. The Bible calls them perilous times. That means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating. And that is the era in which we find ourselves in. I'm looking at a headline here, ladies and gentlemen, says, "An Easter without going to church." As you know, the president just announced that he's going to continue the lockdown on a national basis. That is shelter in place, or lockdown as I'm calling it, till April the 30th. The article says the Center for Disease Control and Prevention issued a formal recommendation that public gatherings be postponed or canceled for the next 8 weeks. Hear me now, 8 weeks. For organizations that serve high-risk populations, the threshold is 10 people, though most churches aren't even doing that. Easter worship, April the 12th, as we've known, is doomed. Early on, many pastors probably presumed the preaching on cameras, preaching to cameras rather than the congregation was going to encompass a whole season. Wasn't going to encompass a whole season. Events are moving quickly from bad to worse. No doubt pastors worry that 2 months of canceled worship services will provide the proverbial straw to break the camel's back of congregational decline. Fewer and fewer adults already reporting attending to church in America. What's going to happen when this last remnant gets used to spending Sunday at home? The article further says the first Easter found that most faithful huddled away from their congregations, hiding. That's because of prosecution and persecution of Christians, hiding out with a different kind of fear. Research Lyman Stone reminds us how Christians historically sacrificed for others during epidemics and plagues. Christians built the first hospitals where caring for the sick could happen safely. Their courageous convictions to love and to care for the least and the poor bore witness in the Spirit's power. The result was more expanding than diminishing of the church and the spread of the gospel. The body of Christ on earth today requires that we meet together as physical bodies. Stone added, that's the researcher, adds that seeing one another in gathered space is not only a matter of supporting one another, but also a way to keep tabs on each other's well-being, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get into the details of what we're talking about with this shutdown of America and essential services, as it is called, being left open. But churches today in the modern society, according to mayors and according to governors and according to the national federal leaders, the church is no longer considered an essential service to the populace in America. Walmart's essential. Others that we'll talk about, pot shops and abortion clinics, are essential. It is absolutely antithetical to anything that I can think of. I told my bride this morning, I'm conflicted in my heart and my mind. Part of me, I'm bent out of shape and anger. Part of me, I'm gravely concerned because we are dealing with a deathly virus. And the conflict is, the horns of dilemma for me is, how do you make that balance with saying what is right biblically, challenging us to be obedient to God, and at the same time trying to avoid the deathly plague, as I am calling it? But when we understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we find mayors and governors across America trying to play the one-upmanship trying to show I'm more powerful and I'm more concerned about my citizens than you are. When we have the small, minuscule number of deaths in the state of Florida with 22 million people, we have a minuscule number. In fact, it is a far, far, far smaller number of deaths in the state of Florida based on the number that is getting ill than you find with the common flu in the state of Florida on any annual basis. And we'll talk about that further. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, I want us to understand that we do so not based on dogma of any denominational rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. We do not face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, just on a hypothetical personal viewpoint, but simply what does the Bible say? And as Christians, how should we respond? Francis Schaeffer, of whom I have enjoyed studying behind over the years, Francis Schaeffer said in the 60s in his major movie and then follow-up book based on society, what's happening in society, his premise and his question was, how should we then live? So based on what we're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, how should we then live? I want us to understand that when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That ought to be the stabilization for our lives. That ought to be the lamp for our pathway and a light unto our feet. That ought to be that which we look at each day to make a determination on how we need to respond to the tyrannical powers of government over us, and now to the point of closing the churches. By the way, a little footnote. We first were told close down for 2 weeks. Now we're told another 4 weeks. Some are saying that it will be June or July. Some are saying that it will be August to September. How long is long enough to close down society and to shut down the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? If 2 weeks is not enough, would 4 weeks be all right? If 4 weeks is not enough, would 8 weeks be better? If 8 weeks is not enough, would 16 weeks be better? Where's the stopping point? Once there is a bowing and bending for the Christians to bow to the government and say, we're going to close for any period of time, what crisis could be next? What would be the level, what would be the threshold of making the decision that we need to order all churches to shut down? That's the dilemmification in my mind. And that's the challenge that I want to place before you today as you're tuned into this broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Jump in any point, any time. We're going to have an elongated monologue, get into the dialogue and discussion. You're welcome at any point to join it. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be free in our nation today as Christians. We ought not to be under the thumb of a tyrannical government. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this early on. We're watching, we're witnessing the standing up of a socialist, Marxist dictator form of governance in America. And to do that standing up of the shadow government, which is the Marxist socialist government, to stand that government up, you've got to eviscerate, you've got to destroy, you've got to undermine the capitalistic system that we have in America today with a constitutional form of government. You've got to destroy that. You've got to set it aside in order to stand up the shadow government. And ladies and gentlemen, you can disagree if you like, you can challenge if you like, but all we've got to do is wait about the next 12 to 24 months, and you will understand what I'm saying is coming from a wealth of information in relationship to what is happening. And some of that I'll talk about on today's broadcast. We're going to be talking about today, are Christians being persecuted? Are Christians being persecuted? Now, we're not seeing armed soldiers coming door to door, dragging Christians out of the door and handcuffing them and tossing them in the gulag and then putting them to death, as we saw in history past. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus himself said, I am truth, John 14:6. And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It is the word of God that ought to be the absolute premise on which we build our lives and our hope and our confidence and our trust. And we all ought to be fearful, but faithful. God's not given us a spirit of fear in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, we're told. We ought to understand that. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way we have faith rather than fear is through the word of God. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're seeing that illuminating and growing every day in America. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian, Jan Hus, the theologian and church reformer of that era. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I challenge you today, our dear listeners, with that question, with that challenge. Are we going to live the truth, learn the truth, stand for the truth, and speak the truth? Are we willing to do so even to death? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators. They also have a full, knowledgeable staff to explain and answer all your questions about the power landscape equipment for the homeowner and for the professional, as well as answering your questions about power backup generation for hurricane preparedness. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find Old Glory, the gigantic flag flowing. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, perilous times are upon us, and I'm just going to give you my bullet point, as I call it, an overview of what's happening. Then we're going to get down to a biblical concept, precept, principle, doctrinal, theological ideal, and then we're going to go from that into the events that are taking place in America today and what mayors and governors are saying and doing, and then ask the question, are Christians being persecuted today? The government orders for churches across America to be closed. Churches are not looked at as essential services. Religious and civil liberties are being foreclosed upon without legal due process, ladies and gentlemen, that's guaranteed in our Constitution. Where is due process? Now, listen, if the federal government had declared martial law, that would set aside any constitutional remedies. That would set aside for a period of time until the urgency is over, the crisis would be over. Martial law suspends constitutional liberties and the liberties that we find in any part thereof. Businesses across the nation are closed. Some 4.5 to 5 million people are already thrust out of work overnight. Mayors are threatening to shut off power and water to force closings of business and churches. We'll talk about that during this broadcast. Some mayors are threatening to confiscate property by force to force the individual business or church to comply with their orders. In fact, the New York Times blames the Christians for the virus. Remember, it was Nero that burned Rome and then blamed the Christians for doing it. Government officials are encouraging people to tell on their neighbor if they feel that the neighbor is not complying with the governmental orders. Government and health officials using faulty data as a premise for the national shutdown. In fact, Dr. Brix, B-I-R-X, on the Imperial College model versus the Oxford model, the predictions of the models don't match the reality on the ground. She made a declaratory statement. There's about a 5-page article on that. And yet we continue to hear even our president. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful for President Trump. I am pleased that God put him in office by his divine intervention. But listen, President Trump is repeating a faulty, fictitious, phony, absolute non-real data by saying that if we do nothing, 2.2 million people will die. That's already been proven, ladies and gentlemen, to be a faulty, fallacious, phony data set that was put in place. And if you take the wrong data that goes into place, everything that you extrapolate forward on to make a presentation of the potentiality and the possibility would be unreal, would be unreliable, and would absolutely be unrealistic for us to believe in and follow. And yet they're still doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, they're still doing it. It's still in the process today of saying that if we do nothing, 2.2 million people will die. And now President Trump is saying, and by the way, listen, he's saying this because he is having the breath into his ears from two major physicians that are heading up the medical groups that's giving him advice, both of which come out of a Democratic background, ladies and gentlemen. And they're telling him that now in the next 2 weeks, we'll have 100 to 200,000 people to die in America, lest we lock down society. that is fallacious, fictitious, false, phony, and absolutely panicking our society today. Panic and chaos and confusion, sheer hysteria, now is the normal nationally and globally. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is the right time, it is the right timing, it is the present threshold wherein the satanic, demonic forces are taking control and getting a foothold in our nation today as never before. I am concerned about it. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall in the biblical story of Daniel, the sixth chapter, we're going to start this, then we'll take a couple of calls and get back to the thoughts of where we're going. The story of Daniel in the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, we find that there was a law that said that no one could pray to any god except the king for 30 days. In fact, it's in Daniel, the sixth chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. I'll read that briefly for us. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save or accept thee, O king, he should be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, as this broadcast continues today, we're going to talk about what took place there. The law was limited. The law was limited. It said just for 30 days. Just for 30 days. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, surely a believer could obey government for just a limited period of time. Surely a believer could just take time for 30 days. Why not just fall into line with everyone else, what everyone else is doing, disobey God, obey the government? And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we've been told by all the government officials, by the mayors and the governors and the federal government, that the church is not essential, so therefore we can just be silent, sit on the sidelines for just a limited period of time. How would that work in Daniel's day? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. Hello.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I want to step on something else real quick. I'm not sure if you covered it. Is it true that you at First Conservative Baptist Church have a line of folks that prepared to do a drive-by happy birthday for a 90-year-old this morning? Is that true?
That's true.
That is awesome. I'll tell you what a blessing to realize that that Christians get together to reach out to a person in just such a fashion. A fella online that I converse with quite often in Montana, he immediately this morning, and I brought this up because I heard that this was taking place, immediately responded, let's see here, I'll pull it up a minute. He said basically he believes that a load of churches and synagogues would immediately step up and volunteer to help the community, those in need, those most at risk in our community, if the president would but ask, if governors would but ask, if mayors would but ask. We have a Christian community that reaches out and touches the world because of God's love working in and through the lives of believers. Somehow or another, you have animosity in the heart of folks, like at the New York Times and other, was it the New York Times I think you cited earlier? But a group of your media types, I believe, see Christians as their enemy instead of
realizing
that
they hate the church. They despise the church. The church is a non-needed entity in society today, according to the loose, likes, lost liberals, as I call them. And you can put it on the basis that it's socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats that take that position. Every one of these, by the way, Greg, thank you for calling us today. Let's continue the conversation. But listen, all of these hot spots across America, listen, all of the left coast and the right coast, all of those hot spots are those that are sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, and as a result of having a no borders, absolute no borders philosophy, they have brought it upon themselves with it being the hot spot. That's just my opinion. Others can agree or disagree. That's your prerogative. But yes, in fact, Greg, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the mayor just got through with a press conference this morning, and he is declaring a total lockdown. If you go out of your house, it's an illegal act in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, as of today at sundown this evening, I believe is the time benchmarker. that we have simply become. And he says it's because that the president has said that in the next 2 weeks, 100,000 to 200,000 people are going to die if we do nothing. And so therefore, our mayor, in his brilliance, just decided to lock the city of Jacksonville down. And so if that's the case, if these folks that are driving their cars by a neighbor's house to wave and honk the horn and say happy anniversary, if they're doing that, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, it would be illegal in the city of Jacksonville. I don't know anything any more asinine than to do that in a city where you have minuscule outbreak, and any outbreak is bad, any lives that are lost is bad. But Greg, listen, what we're looking at today, even in our city, is nothing compared to what's taking place on the city by city, state by state basis with the common flu, where people are dying with the flu, and yet you don't hear any outrage about that. This is the reason, Greg, I'm so concerned that this is considered a crisis, and in this so-called crisis, we need to lock the churches down, prosecute and persecute the Christians as a result of taking a stand, just as down in Tampa, Hillsborough County, where a pastor was arrested, locked up, and got out on bond simply for preaching the gospel. How do you respond, Greg? What is the answer? What are we doing? Have we lost our ever-loving minds in America today?
Well, we certainly have lost our collective minds. There was a video posted some months back, and you may have recalled local newscasters that one after another said this is dangerous to our democracy. And if you saw the video, it showed news groups from around the United States all using the exact same words, the exact same cadence, to express an anti-Trump type of. And so many times we watch the news and we assume that those local news, some of them that happen to be running for Congress right now, and that have some interesting details about their personal lives, but that won't get brought up in the media. But in any case, you watch the local newscasters and you assume that they're giving you their version of the news, their view of the news, or they're giving you some reality. However, many of these stations, they're network stations. They get the teleprompter is loaded with the words that they read. They're not newscasters, they're readers. I mean, there's just as much as Barack Obama was a really good reader. He could stand in the podium and read really well. Well, these are really good readers. They're not newscasters.
Right.
They're not going out to the and doing the investigative journalism.
As you said, they're teleprompter readers, and that's all they are. Greg, hang in there. We've got another caller on the line. Go with the question and comment, please.
Yes. My name is Jack Haig.
Hey, Jack. What? Go ahead with the question and comment.
Yes. You made a comment the other day that the coronavirus was being used by the government to curtail your First Amendment rights?
Correct.
Well, no. And here's why. Your First Amendment rights stop at the tip of my nose. You can't go into a crowded theater and yell fire. That's not First Amendment rights. If you're gathering and there's a possibility of contagions, then you don't have the right to contage other people.
Sir, I don't know your background. Do you hold a license or a law degree in jurisprudence? Is that your status?
No.
Then you're absolutely incorrect. Let me read to you from the Attorney General, Bill Barr, exactly what he said in relationship to that. Religious liberty is enshrined in the text of the Constitution and in numerous federal statutes. It encompasses the right of all Americans to exercise their religion freely without being coerced to join an established church or satisfy any religious test or qualification for public office. It encompasses the right of all Americans to express their religious beliefs subject to the same narrow limits of freedom of speech. In the United States, there must be that sense of the limited use of power. It ought to be on the basis of taking the least restrictions against the Constitution and the guarantee of the religious liberties in the First Amendment of our Bill of Rights.
But
and you can't lock down a church and say that's a limited approach.
If we need to cancel public gatherings, whether they're religious or not, for a short period, it's for the greater good.
Who makes the determination on the shorter period? Is it 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year? Is it 15 days? Let me ask you a question, sir. Let me ask you a question. Have you been in Walmart lately? Do they keep a 6-foot separation? No. Do they limit the number in those packed lines at the cash register? No.
No.
And yet that is considered to be essential services. And what you're doing is just like multitudes in society today, saying that church and Christianity is a non-essential service to the community.
No, I'm saying for the greater good. I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I believe.
Explain the greater good in the context of the Bill of Rights for me, please.
You have the right to do something if it's for the greater good of others. Like,
would you give me the wording in our first amendment in the Religious Liberties Clause?
Your First Amendment rights stop at the tip of my nose. You can't go into a crowded theater and yell fire. You don't have that right. If what
you're not listening to me,
then you lose your right to do it.
You're not listening to me. Does that, where in the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, our religious liberties, where do you find that connotation, that wording? Where do you find in a Supreme Court ruling that wording?
Not that wording, but it's been employed. It's been used in the past.
That's the problem now. Once we use it and people do not sit up, stand up, speak up, be verbal and visible, we lose our liberties and the liberties that we find in our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. We're losing them every day, and that's my premise. That's my stand.
Well,
once this crisis is over, what is the next crisis?
You have to blame Donald Trump for that.
Once this crisis is over, what's the next crisis that'll shut the churches down? This is the first time in the history of Christendom where the churches are to be shut down for Easter celebration ceremonies.
Well, yeah. That's because we don't know how long this thing's going to last.
That's the whole point. Should we stay shut down a year, 6 months? How many churches will fold and go under as a result of being closed? How many businesses will file bankruptcy as a result of being closed?
Trump's stimulus package is supposed to help that.
Sure it will. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Well,
you realize right now we have an exponential increase, a spike in suicides and the suicide hotlines? Do you realize as a result of the churches being closed down, the source of consolation, the source of comfort, the source of care, the source of being able to embrace and love others and bring them in and encourage them, in this very time the churches are shut down? It's a demonic ploy, and that demonic ploy is being carried out because we have folks like Bill de Blasio and Cuomo in New York that hates the Christian, hates the church.
I don't think anybody hates the Christians. They have different viewpoints, maybe.
Well, Jesus was wrong in Matthew 15, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Well, he said, if it hated me, it's going to hate you. You think he was wrong?
No.
Okay, then the world hates the church based on my Bible.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, you can disagree with the Bible if you like. It doesn't make the Bible wrong.
The Bible's been interpreted through 23 languages.
Don't even go there. The Bible is very, very clear. There may be many applications, but there's one interpretation. Words mean something. Words mean something. In English, or German, or French, or Latin, or Hebrew,
but
or the Greek, it means words mean something.
It's translation, because not all words are available in all languages.
I'm not going to get into that debate because it's superfluous at this point. It has no significance into the conversation we're having. But listen, I really appreciate you calling. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Greg, how do you respond to our caller?
The language, and I think there's a great deal of sincerity on his part. The notion of the greater good, though, all I find in the Constitution along that line, you know, the greater good is where we have a provision for, you know, eminent domain. Private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. That's the premise behind eminent domain. But, you know, using the words for the greater gain, for the good, we can chase that down the line where we start saying, well, we have to just seize all the assets of the billionaires for the greater good. I mean, that sounds like a Hugo Chavez kind of thing, but I think it's a dangerous path to get on, the greater good being justification
for anything and everything. That's a socialist, communist, Leninist, Marxism philosophy and terminology. Greg, we're going to take about a one-minute top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. We're talking with one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. We're going to be talking further about our Christians being persecuted.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.